Welcome to the Wedding Obsessed podcast designed to help you plan your dream day. I'm your host, Adriana, and each week I'm joined by the wedding industry's top professionals, celebs, influencers, and friends who share tips, trends, advice, and mistakes they've made so you don't have to. This is the Prenup Podcast.
Welcome to part two of the Sex and the City movie recap and review, not to be confused with a recap and review of the movie Sex and the City 2.
Right.
I'm back with Big Vic 2 weeks in a row. Very exciting. Ooh. Glad to have you here. Honey, could you move in just a little closer to your mic?
It's my leg. It's my old leg.
Also, we are going to end the episode with our premarital counseling segment because Big Vic so rarely gets to do them. So we leave off where Big has left Carrie at the altar. She attacks him in the street, and now we're at Miranda's house where Carrie is, you know, a mess. Obviously, she's been left at the altar. And Samantha Jones, because she is just the most powerful woman in the world, she lets the girls know that she was not able to get Carrie out of the honeymoon to Mexico, but she was able to get them in. So all the girls will be going to Mexico with Carrie.
Of course.
And at this point, Miranda takes Charlotte aside and says, I feel that I'm to blame. She lets her know what was said at the rehearsal dinner. And Charlotte tells her that it's just really not a good time to tell Carrie. And
Find another time
that she should wait.
Which would be never, in my opinion. Never tell.
No. And I love that for plot's sake, we're all going to go to Mexico for this honeymoon. Like, if Carrie really didn't want to go, she would just eat the money and not go. You know what I mean?
Right, but she has nowhere to live.
She has nowhere to live. So she has to go to her honeymoon. She is so dramatic.
This is hilarious.
So we get to Mexico, and the girls are doing everything in their power to make it not look like a honeymoon. Make sure that there's no trace of honeymoon in sight.
Right. And it appeared that Carrie arrived to the hotel with a big fur muff.
And I found that amusing too, just, you know, Mexico sunshine. And
And it was it was October, presumably, in New York. So it was not muff season. But she probably – Carrie is, we forget a lot of the time, somewhat of a public figure. So maybe she's probably trying to hide.
But a muff is hiding her hands. She should have hid that face.
She should have hit the face a little bit better. Yeah. When we get to the honeymoon,
Carrie goes into hibernation.
And I have in my notes that she, if you have not watched And Just Like That, this is going to be a spoiler alert. So if you're planning on watching, you know, hide your ears for the next 30 seconds. But Carrie is in worse shape than when Big dies on this honeymoon. Worse shape than anyone has ever been ever. It almost appears as though she's like lost a child. And I get that it's embarrassing on top of having not been able to get married.
People, you know, that say like divorce or things as something as traumatic as being left at the altar. It is kind of like you're losing that person in your life. That is almost like a death, not to compare it.
Obviously. It feels like death. Yeah. No. That makes sense. I've never been divorced yet. Excuse me. No, hopefully we'll never be divorced, but never been divorced. But yes, I have heard that comparison that it feels like a death. So Carrie just wants the shades drawn. She's not eating. Girls are coming in.
That was another thing, like close the shades, all of them. How about please, Miranda? How about thank you, Miranda? I uprooted my whole life to be here with you. Like, I understand she's going through a hard time, but it's as if she knows what Miranda's done.
I know. Like, I know. And by the way, Miranda is literally going through the dissolution of her own marriage.
Right.
And she's not acting this way. She has a baby at home. As you said, she uprooted her life to be there for Carrie's honeymoon.
Outrageous.
The way she speaks to the friends
is outrageous.
And I know that the idea is that these are our family members to her. So it's, you know, it's not how you would treat a typical friend, but I want to treat my family members that way. I want to talk to you
now,
that way.
I feel like I'm sure been through a hard time and whatever. And when you're helping me, thanks. I feel bad putting you out. Like,
you
say things like that. Like, it's just so rude. I can't.
She has no manners, never has.
So, also, really quickly, has no one spoken to Big? Like, they've been together 10 years. He's reach out to one of your sisters?
Like, I'm sure he has, but it seems as though however he's reached out to either Carrie or anyone,
right,
everyone is on the same page that she does not want to hear about it. She does not want to hear from Big. She wants literally nothing to do with Big, which I do commend.
Okay.
I think that's a bold move. I also have a quick little note that Natasha is probably thrilled once she's heard the news.
Oh, you know it. You know it.
She's probably
love to see it for someone like Natasha.
I know. She's such a class act, mm-hmm, that beautiful woman.
Love it.
So we get through the honeymoon and it's really a struggle for Carrie, but she asks the girls, you know, when am I going to laugh again? They say when something is really funny.
Yes.
So the iconic scene.
Honey, you made a little joke. And that's one of my favorites.
I say that all the time.
Is that for the Mexico
joke? Good for you. It's the Mexico.
Carrie and her stupid sayings.
I hate her stupid sayings.
201
stupid sayings. But Charlotte Poughkeepsieing in her pants is another one of Carrie's stupid sayings when Charlotte shits herself, which is such a funny scene. But why Poughkeepsie in her pants?
Because the pudding was made in Poughkeepsie.
Oh, okay. I did not get that. I was like, what's the Poughkeepsie reference?
That's so
does it just sound like, oh my God, that's great. Okay. So Charlotte Poughkeepsie's in her pants. And then we get back home. Are we done with the honeymoon?
I don't think there's anything. Carrie gets rid of her phone. She throws it in the ocean. Big did reach out. She hears a voicemail. Just tosses the phone in the ocean.
Love it. Get rid of it. Also, Samantha unintentionally makes Miranda feel bad for not having shaved her chach.
Oh, that was hysterical too.
And Miranda feels like Samantha's blaming her for not having sex because she didn't take care of herself. But I think it's more of a projection that she's getting mad at.
And that Samantha. Whole scene is hilarious, what Samantha says.
I forgot to wax. Since when? 1998? I've had other things on my mind. I could be on death row and not have that situation.
Well, Samantha, when you're married, you have a different set of priorities.
Oh, honey, don't blame marriage. This one's married and she's not growing a national forest. How do you even cross your legs? Let me make you a spa appointment. Any thicker and you won't be able to find it.
We get home from the honeymoon and Carrie needs to hire an assistant to just basically get her life in order.
And what are these scenes called? Like when they are trying to be funny and it's like they go through the montage of Carrie interviewing. We have like the Kathy the drunk. What are they called? Because it's so...
I don't know
piss
what
poor.
That's
like, could you think of something else that's funny? It was really bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the term is for that, but they are so funny. I had a question about that scene. What was wrong with Paul? The one who he was
had
like
the shoes?
Yes, an Ivy League graduate.
She would love him,
yeah.
Right?
And he was way overqualified.
Right. And just goes to show you even more, like, it's just those type of things are like the weakest attempt for a laugh.
Yeah. Like, that Paul's wearing Manolos, better. That he is unqualified. Right. That should make him even more so qualified. I'm Kathy the drunk.
Never made it to bed last night, but I type like a motherfucker.
So then we get to Louise from St. Louis, mm-hmm. Jennifer Hudson, who, I mean, why did they do her dirty in this film?
So dirty. Like, why is she saying the dumbest things?
Like, I came to New York to fall in love, said no one ever. It's like the last place you would go to fall in love. It's the worst.
I forget her exact dialogue, too, but it's so ridiculous.
We end up hiring Louise from St. Louis, and she does help Carrie get her life together.
Charlotte gets pregnant. The Vogue editorial comes out. Carrie dyes her hair brown.
Yeah. And we do have to go through things like this because I have another note. This movie has 9 lives and it really does. So there's things that we just have to kind of brush through. So
Samantha's still having a hard time watching the neighbor.
She feels that her and Smith are and still not aligned.
She's shopping and eating to keep from, you know, cheating.
Which I will get to. Oh my God, made me so mad.
Oh, and Samantha gets the dog too.
So we are Halloween shopping. I have a note. Carrie is so out of touch. The kid in the store is terrifying. Remember when they're Halloween shopping?
That seems hilarious.
The kid comes and scares her every time. I jump out of my seat.
It's so funny. I do enjoy that scene.
It is. So Miranda and Carrie are very heavily leaning on each other because, of course, Miranda, you know, is going through a divorce. She is in a new place with Brady, and Carrie's all alone. She's back in her old apartment. Right. Her friends were able to get her back into her old apartment. Mm-hmm. But it'll cost you. So Miranda and Carrie are at dinner, and Miranda attempts to tell Carrie. This is before Valentine's Day.
No, I think it's the Valentine's Day.
No, I'm talking. This is like before the hair dye and everything.
She attempts to tell.
So Miranda attempts to tell Carrie that she told Big that they were crazy to get married. And the only reason I bring this up is because, one, to note that Miranda did try to tell her.
Okay.
But this is what we talked about last time. One of my least favorite movie tropes. It's in almost every movie when someone sits someone down and says, I have to tell you something. And the other person says,
Me first.
Yeah. No, I have to tell you something. No.
Right. Never.
No, that's not. So Carrie interrupts her, though. She doesn't say she has to tell her something. She just interrupts her because she's the most selfish person alive.
Right. Exactly.
And she maybe the they're not at dinner. So Miranda tries to tell her when they're Halloween shopping. That's the whole reason I even brought it up. And they are in the magazine section of the drugstore. And she says, oh, whatever.
And then they see the Vogue. Which actually would have been an interruption from something.
It would have. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's actually, it's a pretty natural interruption.
Right.
But like if someone is in the middle, like I am trying to tell you something, like you clock the Vogue cover and then you like don't listen to what they're saying. You wait till they're finished and then you say.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Actually, if Carrie wasn't so selfish, Miranda could have told her then. It probably wouldn't have been such a big deal because the Vogue would have trumped
it.
It still would have been a big deal, but she would have been so preoccupied with the Vogue that, you know.
True.
Anyway, Carrie dyes the hair brown. Big mistake. Huge. Then we get to Christmas. So we've gone through
Halloween and everything. Passed for Christmas. Carrie gifts Louise the ugliest Louis Vuitton I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, my note is Carrie gives Louise is a slap in the fucking face.
Yes.
If you're going to gift someone a Louis Vuitton, someone who has confided in you that they are just infatuated with, they love purses, they bag, borrow, steal. And they don't have a bag of their own.
Like, let me get the biggest, ugliest cartoon Louis Vuitton.
Literally. Give them a classic.
Yeah, it was a disgrace. And slap in the face is a great way to put it.
And guess what? Good on Louise for the show she puts on pretending that she loves that bag. Because there's no way.
Right.
There's no way she likes it. She hates it. And she's just a bigger person than Carrie. But who isn't? You know what I thought was really interesting about the movie? The series, because I finished rewatching it in November. I watched it over the summer, and it's very, for the most part, it transcends seasons. So you can almost never tell what time of year it is. We could be with Big and Carrie in the spring, and then the next episode is like months later in the fall, but we would never even know. You know what I mean? It doesn't really have a construct of time. It's very much astrophysics. But this movie is very seasonal. So we get our fall wedding is where things are like coming to a head, and then we go through Christmas,
we see the Halloween store. We see things pass and
we get all of our holidays. So it takes us through what we would imagine would be a full year. So I just thought that was interesting. I just wanted to note that during the New Year's Christmas time, Carrie is watching Meet Me in St. Louis.
Right.
And I just had to say, clang, 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 went the trolley.
Miranda's feeling sad New Year's Eve. Carrie makes the trip to old Ukraine to bring in the new year.
Yes, which I love this scene so much. I always love this version of Auld Lang Syne.
It's a sad one. I can't hear that song. It's so depressing.
But the New Year's Eve / New Year's montage of everyone with Brady and Steve. And
That some of them are so cute, and how Charlotte's is really cute.
Charlotte's is so cute. Obsessed with Samantha and Smith and their sequin pajamas.
Fantastic. Love that. But there is one that stands out that, I mean, you have to give a chuckle when everyone's ringing in the new year and it's midnight. Like you see everyone, like it's midnight.
Yeah.
Big appears to be at a table eating a steak. And I also, I know we only gave the spoiler, but like, I mean, that's not an omen for a heart attack. Eating a steak at midnight, anonymously obsessed, right. Alone at a bar, eating a steak at midnight.
It looked like a house party. Though.
Did it? I felt like it was a bar.
It's just so people standing around and it looked, and no, I'm like, I'm in a beautiful kitchen. I mean,
like, it's like, to me, it looks like a beautiful kitchen,
a lobby bar,
a counter.
It looked like a lobby bar to
just,
me.
I guess it was so bright that I wasn't getting lobby bar vibes. I was getting like,
that's what kitchen. I got. But if you go to someone's house,
I'm like, well, I thought it out. I'm like, is Big hosting this party? And like, everyone else is happy and eat, like, and he's just sitting down to eat. He's finally getting a minute. That's the only thing that would make sense to me.
So funny. So funny. I did have the note of Big eating steak. Oh, and this is also Anthony and Stanny's initiation.
True.
So at this point, I think we should just hop into Sex and the City 2 really quick. Just because like it doesn't segue naturally into the second one. Anthony and Stanny end up getting married in Sex and the City 2, which some consider to be the worst movie of all time.
Right.
However, the beginning 10-15 minutes of their wedding is absolutely incredible. Do you have notes on this?
I do.
Okay. Why don't you pull them up?
Is it an inn in Connecticut?
I believe. Honestly, I don't even remember.
Right. And it's 2 years later now.
Okay.
I think it's 2 years later, inn in Connecticut. It's beautiful. I mean, you see the outside and then you go inside, which I believe is the back.
It's so elaborate.
It's, yes.
We're greeted by a men's choir in all white tux and tails, top hats.
Sequin top hats.
Oh my gosh. And do we come into them singing If Ever I Should Leave You? Because I listen to that version of that song all the time.
I think so. I think it is that.
It's so beautiful.
It's a good one. Love Carrie in the tux.
I know.
She looked unreal, except when she put on that it is an amazing headband, not a hat, Carrie. She called it a hat. It's not a hat. It's not a headband.
It's a headband.
But you can't do both. And she looked crazy. And it also made me think to myself, that would be a great Halloween costume. Tux and that hat. I mean, it's so obviously Carrie.
Sure. But so many iconic outfits. Like, you could be Carrie every year for Halloween with different outfit.
Right, but that one is really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But her hair. Can we just quick touch on her hair? Is a mix of scrunch, three barrel, and it's crimped underneath. Like, I don't, and it appears to be like a bump bit type of situation up front. It looks insane.
What
dirty,
year is like, Sex and the City 2? 2010?
What year was that? Sex and
this
the City?
This is 2008.
So, yeah, I guess I believe it's 2 years later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was an interesting time. That would make sense that she had a bump it in because that was around the time for bump its. I remember them being a thing when I was in high school and I graduated in 2011. So,
just the carry that they make her out to be would never use a bump.
Sure.
A scrunchie. Oh my gosh.
That bitch.
Yeah.
Although I hated Burger, but anyway.
Yeah, he was the worst. But Carrie continues to say stupid things in Sex and the City 2.
This wedding is way more than beautiful. It's Lady Di.
Disrespectful to Lady Di.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
And she just has to continue to say dumb things in Sex and the City too as well.
She makes a rude comment about it being a gay wedding, I remember. Sorry, I didn't take notes on this, but I remember her saying something that I was like, okay, you freak.
Yeah. All of them are kind of, except Charlotte, of them are kind of like not being the wedding. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say, you know, Gaze wrote and created this show. So if they're not offended, then I'm not offended. I can take it and go fun. But I don't know. Carrie's so aggressive. She's just.
She's a shit.
She's a piece of shit. Yeah. Big's not happy to be at the wedding. Like,
he ends up happy to be at the wedding. Yes. That's where I ended it. My little, you know, of watching like that wedding scene. But, it's Stanford getting the wedding of his dreams, and Anthony says he gets to cheat. Just wanted to note that really quick because as an Italian, I found it offensive. He said he gets to cheat because he's Italian, not gay. Didn't care for him.
Hey, I don't like that either. It's rude.
Italian doesn't cheat. So.
It's really, really rude that he said that.
Right. And while the wedding is so over the top, elaborate. There are really like beautiful details to things. Like, did you see the crystal detail on the cake?
It's unbelievable.
It's really pretty. Lily looks adorable in her little flower girl.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Marcy Blum wedding. Right. It's
and then when they go into Sunrise Sunset.
Oh wow.
We had just seen Fiddler on the Roof.
We just saw Fiddler.
Our parents.
It's excellent. Yes. We're always familiar with the music, but we've never seen it.
Shout out to Wick and Boca. Highly recommend a show there.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. Yeah, but we love the music. Never saw the show live, and our dad wanted to go, so we went, and it was a great night. And
an even better show. And yeah. Their faces, when Liza comes out to officiate, like they weren't made aware.
Yeah.
That's not fair. Like, you're here to work. You need to know the conditions you're going to be in, especially as a gay man that you're going to be near Liza. Like,
yes.
See no one drop dead.
Absolutely. And what a full circle moment, because we were just talking about Meet Me in St. Louis. Right. Liza's mother, Judy Garland. Wild. Wow. Yeah.
Full circle. Uh-huh. But again, it is crazy over the top, but it is a wedding. Like, it's,
sure.
I love the Jewish tradition where both of your parents walk you down the aisle.
I love it too. The only thing I will say, because I love how elaborate it is and love how over the top it is, I have no critiques of the wedding itself. However, I do have critiques of this marriage. These two would never get married. They are so incompatible. They are not friends. I'm up here. You're down here.
Gotta go.
Got a date.
It's just such a weak attempt at storytelling.
I know.
And it's just,
I know. It's,
I couldn't think of anything else to do.
We talked about it before. A lot of the show is wish fulfillment, and it's very fantastical, but this might be one of the most far-fetched things. These two would never be. And I mean, we don't have to get into it just like that. Like, Anthony gets the love story he deserved, but there's never like real, true, good, gay love stories within the show. Whatever.
Weak. And then I ended my little recap of that when Big goes to get a drink and there's a gay man who admiring him.
Yeah.
Like, how's your night? You have a nice night. And Big comes back like in a totally different mood, over the moon. He was hit on.
Very cute.
But back to the first.
Yes.
Anything
so,
you needed to touch on?
No. I think we covered it all. It's not enough of a wedding movie to recap and review it, but I'm glad that we touched on the wedding aspect of it. We come back into
Valentine's Day.
So New Year's is over. We're Valentine's Day. Carrie
gets back with her bow over the holiday.
Yes.
Sorry, I meant that too. And then Valentine's Day.
So Louise gets back with her bow over the holidays, and we're at Valentine's Day where Miranda and Carrie are at dinner together because they don't have Valentine's. At this dinner, Miranda confesses that she told Big that he and Carrie were crazy to get married. Carrie is understandably devastated, but she says what hurts the most is the fact that she kept a secret from her and that Carrie's never kept a secret from Miranda. What did you think of that?
Bullshit.
Did you think bullshit?
Yes.
Do you think Carrie has never kept a secret from Miranda?
Honestly, I haven't rewatched as of recent, but like there's not a time I can recall that Carrie kept a secret.
No.
Except the one she screams at her before she exits. No, I thought you should stay with Steve.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's a huge mistake that you left Steve. So Samantha's Valentine. So I don't typically agree when people get mad at other people for working late.
Especially that he called. But it is
Valentine's Day. It was a pretty weak call. And it was really
had handmade sushi and laid it on her nude body, and she couldn't get the phone because she was laying as a live sushi platter.
Which Smith didn't know in his defense. And I understand why Samantha is upset.
It's a funny scene though, too.
It's a great scene. Originally I was like, Samantha, get over it. But when Smith was like, you made some sushi.
Right.
And made light of all of the work and effort she put into it, I was like, Smith. No.
But I believe that, he got what was coming for him. She threw the sushi pretty hard, and he probably had to clean up that mess.
Sure. To me, and you know that he did. Right. He's such an angel. Mm-hmm. So we find out that it's been 3 days since Carrie and Miranda have not spoken, which is the longest they've ever gone.
Oh my God. I didn't even realize that. It seemed a lot.
Yeah. And I love this sequence because it really feels like one of Carrie and Big's classic like breakup makeup scenes, with Miranda out in the car waiting for her, and she says, get in, the car's still running. And that's like, it just makes me feel so warm and fuzzy that they have this love affair of friendship.
Right.
And it brings you back to, you know, Charlotte's corny thing that everyone always references, what if we're each other's soulmates?
Right.
And I do love the theme of friendship throughout the show and this movie.
Right.
And, you know, there's no choice but for Carrie to forgive Miranda.
Right.
Their family.
Exactly.
What did you think about this scene?
I liked it because Carrie didn't, you know, hold the grudge forever. And she told her, like, if I need to forgive you, like, you need to consider forgiving Steve.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally.
And which I was in agreement with from the beginning, too.
Yes.
Not the very beginning. I don't like the way Steve, you know, sorry. And how like, I was ridiculous.
So, movie ended. So we cut to Steve Miranda in therapy, which is the best thing for them, for sure.
This was my big scene for me. To me, the funniest part of the movie that I actually really paid attention this time, and I wrote the stuff down because I was cracking the hell up.
Okay, let's hear it.
So they go to therapy, and then Miranda is briefing Carrie on like what they do in therapy, and they agreed not to speak for 2 weeks. They decided to take the 2 weeks to really think about how they want to move forward. Mm-hmm. And if they decide they want to get back together, they have a meeting place. Which is the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
And they would meet, and the past would no longer exist. The past would no longer exist after the 2 weeks. So Miranda, in true rare fashion, makes a list of pros and cons. Did you read the list of pros
and
cons?
Yes, I have the list. I have the list of pros and cons, actually.
Okay, theme. I did. So, I was hysterically laughing. The pros are hilarious, but the cons.
Yeah, they're so funny. Yeah, how about you read them. You read them.
Okay, so pros. Good father. Sweet. Good listener. Tell me if I miss anything. Willing to work. Cares about home. These are all important things.
Totally.
Kind to mother.
Mm-hmm.
Carpenter. Plumber. I mean, come on. Doesn't care if I cook. Good lover. Not threatened by my job. Funny. Remembers birthdays. Doesn't take things too seriously. Cute.
Good boy.
Good body. I'm sorry. Good body.
Good boy.
Okay. And then, what is funnier than the con list? Sneaky, selfish, doesn't read enough, uncomfortable at work functions, breath occasionally
killed me,
nose hair, and then she had watches cartoons and crossed it out. Not driven, had sex with someone else,
mm-hmm.
Says embarrassing things, silly, and that's all. Did you get anything else?
No, I think those.
I was hysterically laughing though. What a funny list.
Was really funny too.
Sneaky and selfish.
He is sneaky and selfish.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's Carrie told her, you know, you can't lawyer or logic your way out of this one. You're going to have to feel it through. And I think to an extent that is true. And it might surprise a lot of people to find about me, because I'm a very emotional person. I wear my heart on my sleeve, but I make all decisions based in logic. There is no other option for me. I have never gone with my heart. I go with my head. And of course, you know, your feelings weigh into that and you can feel a certain way about them.
Right.
But for me, when I make a decision about something, it is based in logic.
Right.
Unless, of course, it comes to like one of my nieces or nephews.
Right. No, I don't either.
And I think with this, you know, the pros and cons list, of course, it's based in feeling, but it is a logical way to go about it. And I think that is really important when you're making a life decision, because feelings change. Certain encounters and certain things in life cloud your judgment and your feeling. So I don't think you should go with your heart or your gut. What does your heart tell you? I mean, which one would you rather see naked?
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, I love that list. I thought that was so, so funny. So our things were different. Mine was Marshall Yeah, yours was the list.
Yeah.
So let's get back to Steve and Miranda meeting at the Brooklyn Bridge. There's not much to say, but I do want to say, one, beautifully shot. It is so, so gorgeous. And
how can you mend?
Beautiful music, but Steve's faces are hysterical. So I can't even.
It's like, so funny.
The beautiful music and scenery because Steve's.
And Steve's denim jacket.
Everything about Why? Steve makes me laugh.
And them hugging. I mean, it is beautiful and you feel that they love each other and they walk away arm in arm. So that was really nice. But yeah.
Hilarious.
Steve and Miranda make up, which, you know, Thank all God. Is right in the world.
Right.
That's how it should be. Yes. But as we learn, another spoiler alert from And Just Like That, which has to ruin our lives.
It's a complete disgrace that they do that to that relationship. But go ahead, continue.
Outrageous. Both excellent aspects of the film.
Yes.
So
Louise gets engaged. Steve and
Louise
Miranda
is moving
meet at
back
the
to get married. It's spring. It's 6 months, not a lot of time. Oh, yeah. It's not 6 months, but I just made that note from Frank Egelhofer. 6 months, not a lot of time. Which, by the way, we have to do Father of the Bride soon.
Yes, very soon.
So, yeah, Jumping the Broom will be next. We'll solidify whether it's going to be Father of the Bride next.
Okay.
You wanted to do what? American Wedding?
Yes.
Yeah, we have to do that at some point, too.
That'll be really fun.
That'll be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So Louise is getting married and not a lot of time. Charlotte's having another baby shower. So we get to Charlotte's next baby shower.
Which I thought was interesting.
Why is Charlotte having a baby shower? This seems like a plot hole. You get a baby shower.
I think it's just...
to move plot.
Right. I mean, it's not like... typically, people have a baby shower to get the things you need for a baby.
Sure.
Charlotte doesn't need people's gifts.
No.
Very wealthy. I think it's more to just celebrate her getting pregnant.
Maybe that's and something Carrie's really rich revamp. People do.
Right.
Like and just have another.
Probably. Yeah. The Kardashians do always do a baby shower.
Do they?
For all okay. the kids, like something, you know, I think
like
it's just
it.
To celebrate having the baby. Carrie revamped the apartment. I'm glad you touched on it though, because my favorite line I think of the whole film is, if you do it again, I'm going to break your friggin' arm. which Anthony says at the shower when somebody put a drink down without a coast.
So I'm glad you brought Anthony at the shower up because
when Samantha my other favorite line.
Flies home, she arrives.
Mother of God, what's with the gut? Is the funniest thing ever.
So
and
this
she's not even heavy.
I am so mad because Samantha Jones has not worked this hard for this long to be the age that she is, to look as good as she does,
right.
to be the butt of a gut joke when she looks right. amazing. Like it really made me mad that they were acting like she was so fat. And
she's not even fat, first of all.
If you want to try to make her look fat, then don't have her wear a belly top. Like she right. is not.
Yes.
She is not the one. I can't believe that Kim Cattrall even agreed to this scene
yeah.
because they're
it was strange.
Wow. They yeah. really it solidifies things. The creators and writers and the powers that be at Sex and the City hate Kim Cattrall. And I'm team Kim Cattrall.
Okay. Yeah.
So at the baby shower, the girls are acting like Charlotte's obese. Or I'm sorry, that Samantha's obese. Charlotte's pregnant, AKA, you yeah. know, it is what it is. But Samantha
faces the music. She
yes.
says, she
compares being with Smith to having gone through chemo because she says he was there for her through chemo and she should be there for him. So she realizes then, you know, it's really not a good comparison. So then we get to the Smith and Samantha breakup, which is just the most beautiful breakup
it
ever.
It is, but it also made it like... leave it to Samantha to be funny. Like, it makes me laugh. Like,
I love you, but I love me more.
No, the funniest part to me is like, she goes to take off the beautiful ring.
Yeah.
And, hey, no, keep it. Okay.
Like, it's so funny. I love Smith so much. He's so cute and so hot. And I'm so sad that they broke up, but I love that it's true to Samantha. She's not a long term
right.
relationship person. She never wanted to be. She likes romance, she likes work. And, she is staying true to herself, even though she has this hot, young, famous thing. It's not good enough for her, and I love that. So Charlotte is having lunch.
Very pregnant, just arrives to the restaurant.
Yes, and she sees Mr. Big. And she is so infuriated, and she lets out her line that she was thinking of if she ever did see Big.
I cursed the day you were born!
And she goes into labor. Big has to take her to the hospital.
Carrie arrives to see the baby. Harry spills the news.
Harry is perfect.
Asks Carrie to call, beg, you know, that he waited here till the baby was born. Asked Harry to tell Carrie to call him. Told Harry that he had wrote Carrie, but she never answered. And Carrie goes home and finds all the emails.
But before Carrie responds in what an eye-opening scene that today is not about Big, it's about Rose. And I said, wow, Carrie, you have the wherewithal to understand that something's not about you for once, even shocker. The birth of a child. It was shocking to right. hear Carrie not be completely selfish right. in a moment. But yes, as you said, she goes home, she finds the emails
that Louise had hidden with the password. So she calls Louise to get the password. Is that the scene? And yeah, there's such a weak attempt at a joke. Like, that dress makes your boobies look big. Mama, this is a work call.
Yeah. Oh my God. Outrageous. Like, it's so
probably
weird.
A granddaughter who wanted a line in the film or something. Producer.
Yeah. But Carrie calls Louise to try to get the password, but she already has figured it out. It's, of course, love.
But Louise also does remind her to go get the shoes.
Oh, yes. 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 From the shared place of her and Big, because the place right. is about to sell. So Carrie needs to get her shoes out of the closet. Really quickly, why have we not seen a Louise sighting and just like that?
That would have been nice.
Like they
or
didn't
Smith
make,
sighting. Or I would have liked a Smith sighting.
Yeah. Like
just know everybody's doing okay. Instead, totally. We're introduced to people like Che Diaz.
I know. Which she's gone.
Started.
Oh, Che's gone.
She's done.
No it's more Che.
Long overdue.
Long overdue. Yeah. And if we're wishing for things, you know, I was in the minority. I thought Che Diaz was hysterical. This is such a funny story. So Tour doesn't have an Instagram. So she uses my personal right. Instagram. She goes in to the search bar to look for something.
And it's all Che. I was crying, laughing. I'm like, it's just all Che searches, different Che. Hey, it's Che Diaz. Hysterically laughing.
I do. I love Che Diaz.
The memes were hysterical.
I recognize why people hate her, but I think it's so funny
that people hate her. Yeah.
I wish they all could be.
I don't. It's so bad that it's so bad it's funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm sorry. Let's get back to the movie. Yeah. I could talk about and just like that all day, but I won't. But I would have liked to see Louise and Smith in and just like that.
I agree with
maybe
that.
Maybe we yes. will. We are getting a third season. So true. We'll see.
So Carrie goes back to the apartment. The Manolos are there. So is Big.
I'm sorry to have done that to you.
Wow. A Big's proposal in the closet. Like,
I'm sorry. I loved it.
I want to say, like, I would be like, no, fuck you. But, like, I would be
what
putty.
Do you do at this point? Yeah. They do love each other. And I love how Big is when he's on his knee next to Tiny Carrie. Like, he proposes with the Manolo. It's,
they're so you know. Cute. Yeah. And I had a question now that we're back at the apartment. So, in the beginning, in part one, if you'll remember, which if you've gotten this far without having listened to episode 40, part one of this episode, right. I mean, it's time to go back.
Yes.
But Carrie and Big decide to buy the penthouse.
Right.
And Carrie sells her apartment so that she can contribute funds to right. the penthouse. Then why would they need to get married if they both had ownership in it? Right?
Right.
So that I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know why she ended up selling the place because, right.
Yeah, like she wouldn't have had to.
Right.
I don't know. I did ask why Carrie would marry him. I think I would concede and be like, okay, we're back together, but no, I'm not marrying you. Like, we'll just be together. I want, you know, my name on the deed, whatever. Carrie and Big go to City Hall. Carrie's dress is beautiful that she wears to City Hall.
It's such a City Hall look.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
the original white pantsuit. No, a skirt suit.
The skirt suit. Yeah, it's a skirt suit. It's very who is who did Mick Jagger marry?
Bianca Jagger.
Do you know
that's an iconic look.
Right yeah, there. It's yeah. it's such a good look. So it kind of reminded me of that a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. just the suit of it all. But Carrie says it would have been Big says, it would have been nice if you had the girls here. which is why I called them.
Love that. His face.
Yes. I love his face. I love the luncheon after yes. with everyone.
Because there's nothing off limits at the table. Like everyone, they must be at a diner because everyone has exactly what they want. Like my last note is that Steve's eating a big, large block of cheese.
Like it's one brunch. Of the huge. Cheese. It's for sure brunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely. And all the girls are wearing, as we mentioned before, the same color as their bridesmaids' dresses, the black, blue, and red.
Right.
Again, I didn't look into if that meant anything. It could mean nothing. It could be just coincidence.
Seems
but
intentional.
Seems intentional, right?
Yes.
And then we get to Samantha's 50th birthday, 50 and fabulous. They cheers with a Cosmo. And the Jennifer Hudson song plays, which made me laugh so much. I wanted to talk to you about the music of this movie.
That's all hysterical.
So it ends with, I'm in love, all dressed up in the... Okay, it's a little overkill.
I found my love.
Yeah, it's a little overkill with the love theme, yeah. right? But as the credits are playing, the song continues. One of the lines is, because I found love and you must...
And you must find love. It's like something we would do to be funny.
Like, I insist you must yeah. find love. And just how passionate Louise is about right. love. Like, yeah. really, she wanted to get married so badly, she didn't care to whom.
Right.
Call back to The Wedding Singer, which if you haven't listened to that recap and review episode, go back and listen to that.
It's another long one.
But, okay, so I want you to get up the lyrics to... just while we're on the music of the movie,
okay.
I want you to get up the lyrics to a song called Labels or Love by Fergie. It's the intro song to this movie.
Shopping for labels, shopping for love. Manolo and Louie, it's all I'm thinking of. Mm. Shopping for labels, shopping for love.
Just continue with that first verse.
Keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
Manolo and Louie, it's all I'm thinking of. Turn the lights on. I already know what my addiction is. I be looking for labels. I ain't looking for love. I shop for purses while love walks out the doors. Don't cry. Buy a bag and get over it. And I'm not concerned with all the politics. It's a lot of men. I know I could find another. All I know is that I'm always happy when I walk out of the store. I'm guessing
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Song makes no sense
at all. No sense. It's almost like someone summoned Fergie and they were like, Fergie, why don't you write
that gentleman that wrote all the early Backstreet Boys and things?
Mark's, what the hell is his name?
No, he's great. I meant the one that writes like
Sadness is beautiful, loneliness is tragical.
Yeah, like, what?
Totally. But it's almost as if someone summoned Fergie and they were like, have you ever seen Sex in the City? And she was like, I know what it's about, but I've never really seen right. it. And they were like, all right, that's enough. So just based on your minimal general knowledge of the show, can you write a song?
Right. And Fergie was also very drunk and like, what?
So good. So those two songs, of course, we have How Can You Mend This Broken Heart Beautiful. On the Brooklyn Bridge.
Auld Lang Syne.
On Lang Syne. Are there any other standout songs of the movie? Because the show a lot of times has really great music. I remember this promo for Sex and the City. It might have been for the last season. And it's all the girls doing, more, more, more. How do you like it?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, my God. So yeah. good. Yeah, they sometimes got some really good bops in there.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm just thinking because I watched the wedding scene of the next one.
Yes.
So we could touch on Anthony and Stanford. That movie opens with Jay-Z in New York, right?
Yes. Yep. That's a great song.
And I don't know why. I'm so bad at thinking of music when other music is in my head. And yes. I keep just hearing the mariachi band in Mexico.
I'm done. So I'm
having a hard time thinking of the other music.
It's from Scary Movie 3.
Scary Movie 3.
Tom, I'll need a ride home.
That is the funniest scene of it's hilarious.
Well, we really made good time. We brushed
through. We had to do two parts.
2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did it in two parts. It's much more palatable that way.
Yes. And there is just so much.
Like yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson. Oh, okay. I just wanted to note that I am sexually attracted to Steve.
Oh, me too.
Okay, okay. Just wanted to put that out there. Make sure we were on the same page.
Yeah, I wanted to add to the pros list. And I loved all the things that were mentioned. Yeah.
And not only good lover, which was on the list, but
good body. Really good body.
And great rear. We see his rear. Yeah, in this
It's really and his little glasses. I love his little glasses.
Which is like fresh. It's kind of hot. Like when he's like,
yeah,
we never have sex and you just want to get it over. Like,
yes. He's like cocky, but gentle. Sweet. Gentle cocky, which is really hot and will put you right in your place.
Right.
And I love like a little bit of a speech impediment on a man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What they do to him in the Just Like That is a disgrace.
I know.
It's really horrible. I can't believe he agreed to it.
I know. But he's probably like, whatever. Yeah. I'm rich. I like don't really need this. It's just for funsies.
Yeah.
So you did disagree with me, but I thought that no Aiden was a miss because it wasn't a guarantee that we were going to get a sequel or a follow-up series.
What would you have liked to see with Aiden?
Would have liked during the wedding planning process while Carrie was on the street to have just like run into him like, you know, oh, sorry. And then like they run into each other and he's like, so you're marrying John James Preston, well, you know, whatever. And them to have had and her to really be comfortable with her decision. She sees Aiden, but I mean, she hated Aiden. So, you know.
And what she did to him was a disgrace.
It was disgusting. But we also got no Trey, which I would have loved. I would have loved to just a callback to Trey. Right. Well, and also, I always wondered, Trey was pretty fabulously wealthy and ran in the New York circles. Him and Big never had any crossover. They weren't like chummy.
Right. And when we finally get to the TV wedding recap, I would love to do Trey and Charlotte's wedding. That would be a good one.
Absolutely. That's an important one to do. Mm-hmm. Also, we can't forget that Steve and Aiden are friends and business partners.
True.
So it would make sense that Aiden is somewhat in their life.
To add yet another storyline to this movie, we were already here.
Even in passing, because and Just Like That, we don't get Aiden until season two. They work in Natural Conversations. So a natural conversation with me and you, if my husband is really close with your ex, it's going to come up here and there. Yeah, like, him and his wife got divorced.
Right.
Like, whatever. You're just going to talk about it. So it's unrealistic that they don't talk about Aiden because you just naturally would. And I just thought it was crazy that we get no Trey, no Aiden, but we do get Betsy Von Muffling.
Help me.
Why? You know?
Yeah.
Takeaways of the movie. So we have the Rotten Tomatoes rating, but how do you rate it?
It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah. Do you find it like in the top 10 of wedding movies?
No. No, not even
I don't
close.
Think I do either, although I love it. Like,
I love it too, and it's always
it's a comfort movie.
You could watch over and over again. It is a comfort movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a comfort movie. It's enjoyable. It's so bad. It's good. It's my favorite genre, but yeah, not in my top 10.
No.
So of the movies we've done so far, we did The Wedding Singer was the first one.
Yes.
We did My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We did
that Christmas film.
Oh my God. That was so bad. That was so bad. And then we lied. Oh, and then we did, of course, My Best Friend's Wedding.
Right.
And then Sex and the City is 5. We have not done My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 or 3. So we'll have to get those on deck.
Yes.
But next will be Jumping the Broom. So I'm not sure where we can stream that yet, but I will find it and I will let the people know.
Jumping the Broom next. And then I would really like to do American Wedding.
We can do that. We can do that after. Okay. We can do American Wedding after. And we will be doing this forever because we could do this, this segment with J-Lo movies alone. And we haven't even done The Wedding Planner or any of the J-Lo movies. Right. So the first J-Lo movie will obviously be The Wedding Planner, but you know, we've got Monster in Law. We've got whatever the last 100 that she did were wedding movies.
I love Monster in Law.
Love Monster in Law.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So good. Enough. Although there's a wedding scene, it's not a wedding movie.
No, it isn't. But that's another comfort film that can be watched over and over again.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. It's so dark. So good. We do advice segments when you're not here.
Oh,
because our wedding movie recaps take so long. So let's get to our premarital counseling session before we go. This premarital counseling session is not actually from a bride. This is from a friend of mine from high school. She reached out with a question that I thought was really interesting, and I wanted to get your take on it. This was from a friend. I'm going to change the name just in case she doesn't want her name being read out. Let's call her Carrie. Carrie said, hi, I've been wondering what a standard wedding gift is. Hi, I've been wondering what a standard wedding gift is. It's so hush-hush and awkward amongst friends since many have gotten married already. Typically, my boyfriend and I will give $300. Up until last year, was doing $250, and there's literally no guidance, LOL. Aside from pay your plate, quote unquote, pay your plate. But how do you really find out? LOL, please help. What do you typically see as a gift? Worried I've been cheaping out without realizing.
Great question. And my answer is going to be that for me personally, it's case specific.
It is case specific, but that's not, it's not helpful, but it can be. So let's dissect it a little bit further.
For every wedding we go to.
Totally. So it also is region specific. So some people listening might say like, wow, Carrie's a big baller here. And she is, and she's very generous because in the Northeast, you know, you will see a gamut of things, but that is kind of what she said, that 250 to 300 is kind of the standard. Now it's 300, I would say, more so is the general standard in the Northeast.
Because in your head as a couple, it's $150 a plate, which isn't necessarily accurate.
It's not necessarily accurate. And I actually, the analytics for The Knot just came out and showed what costs per person per region, wedding costs per person per region.
And what did they say for the tri-state?
They were, it was more, it ended up, and this is not just venue, this is inclusive of all the things, but I think it was $350 or something in the Northeast per person.
Right.
So that's about what you're looking at. And that's just an average people. Like that is just a median, if you will. So I think I would say you are doing the right thing. You are right on track. And go with your gut.
I would say to Carrie.
I'm sorry. I would say to Carrie. you are right on track. You are doing it right. I would recommend that. But as you said, Sor, it is case specific. So let's say as a general, when you are invited to a wedding as a guest and you give a very generous, don't come for my friggin' throat here, a very generous $300 gift to someone that's your baseline. Okay, well, if it's maybe your sister who you're really close with, maybe that gets bumped up to $500.
Right, you're in the wedding. This person gave you X amount, you know, based on what it is.
There should be a generator that like you put in your, you know, what your baseline is, and then you put in your relationship with the people, and depending on how close or far apart you are, you add or take away.
Because I mean, I got married, my husband always says, because you know, how much you put in the card before we leave everything. And I'm like, I'm giving what they gave us. You need to factor in inflation. Like he's an overly generous person and he's right.
And that's true. That's true. Because, you know, I mean, some of our cousins got married 10, 15 years ago.
When I was 12 and had no money. I mean,
yes. But also like, okay, like Lauren and AJ got married 15 years ago and little Jimmy's getting married this year.
Right.
So what little Jimmy gave to Lauren and AJ,
which was probably in with his parents at that point.
Yeah. You know. But it wouldn't be the same anyway for a lot of different reasons. So,
but I'll even have like my in-laws call me when they're on the way to a wedding and be like, do you remember how much Joe and the so-and-so gave you for yours? We're on the way to their daughter's wedding.
Totally.
Like they want to at least match that. You want to give what people gave you. I have people who, you know, have not done that.
Yeah.
I mean, in my wedding,
I still reference my spreadsheet. I have it on Google Sheets of what everyone gave me. And maybe that sounds a little crude, but that it's true. It's what I do.
It sounds crude, but it is nice to be able to match it because it's just a base that I have been like completely appalled by. Like I went to reference my list. You know, I'm getting a gift of a wedding I had already been to that was destination. So I went to the desert, you know, traveled, mm-hmm. had to get a room for the wedding. Somebody gave me, you know, we gave them a certain amount of money. They came to our local wedding and gave less. I was appalled. I mean, there's...
Or gave not.
Honestly, I would rather, I always say this and I know it sounds crazy. I would rather like give nothing and like act like the card got lost in the mail than to like put $20 in a wedding card. Like,
I agree with you.
So embarrassing.
I agree. I actually agree with you. And then if someone calls you out, then you know, you figure it out.
Right.
I think that for Carrie and for any brides who are getting married, keep that list. It'll be helpful.
Even if
you are using it as a baseline, like factor in inflation, factor in different relationships, whatever, but that will be helpful to know what everyone gave you. And if you haven't gotten married yet and you have a lot of friends getting married, keep track of what you are giving everyone because, I mean, people shouldn't, but they, whether you care or not, they do talk and it, or, you know, just for your own personal feeling, you might feel like I gave this to one of my really good girlfriends. I want to give this to another one. And you know, you also have to factor in different positions in life. So Carrie might have been working an entry level job when one of her best friends got married. Maybe another one did, and she wants to be more generous now. And that is just part of life.
Right. That's true too. And then I think back, I mean, John and I have been together for 1,000 years, but there's weddings I've attended alone. So you're just one person. It's going to be less than what you would give, you know, whatever. And there's weddings that I've had to miss that I have sent a gift.
That's what I was
more recently,
say.
A very like lifelong friend. I had to miss the wedding because I was in another wedding that day. I sent my gift with mommy and daddy and I gave what I would have gave if I was there.
Totally. Totally.
So,
but that wouldn't be the case for everyone. Right. If you had to miss a wedding of maybe a not lifelong friend, then maybe you would just give like a bare bones gift.
Like, but I do think when you brought up a good thing too, like if you're not at the wedding, you still need to give a gift. If you weren't invited to a wedding, you need to give a gift.
Yes. So three things are true. One, you need to, it's case specific.
Yes.
Two, whether you're going to the wedding or not, you should at least give something. Three, a lot of people listening might be very confused right now because a monetary gift is a location based thing. So in the South, you give a registry gift.
Which is more for the shower here.
Yes. In the Northeast, you do not bring a physical gift to a wedding.
It's cash.
Cash, baby.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very rare that you'll see an actual gift. Although, you know, you said I would rather give nothing than give a $20 gift. Personally, I would just because most of the people in my life close to me know what kind of position I'm in, and I'm in a position to give more than $20. But let's say, you know, cousin Nicholas came to my wedding and he's a baby.
In high
if he gave me a card with $20,
I would be touched.
I would have been like, oh my God, how cute.
Again, case specific.
Case specific.
So, me personally, I would be more embarrassed.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Don't give a gift that you're embarrassed to give. But if you're proud of your gift and you know it's what you can give and the person is aware of your situation, I think it's fine.
I'm thinking of all funny gifts now and it's just
like what?
I've had people tell me like in the wedding, groomsman, of course, single man, card was printed like off the computer, $20 in the wedding.
Really?
Yes.
Or nor.
Yes.
No.
And not like an earl, like it's not like they got married super young and like this man, like, yes.
$20? Or be at a children's birthday party?
In a, like you printed it off the, like, not even hard stock, not onto hard stock.
This is a single person, a single man, straight.
Single groomsman now.
Yeah.
Like, were you raised in a barn? Pick up a card at the store.
I think single, straight men literally have no fucking clue about anything. And I don't put it past them.
Right.
One of my girlfriends, her ex-boyfriend and her got in a huge fight before a wedding because, and they were in college, so they didn't have a lot of money at the time, but she wanted to give $100, which she didn't feel was enough, but that's what they could afford. And he fought her tooth and nail. And she was like, but I'm going to make up the difference. It's my money and that's why I want to give. And he nearly insisted she take the money out of the card. I think she ended up putting it in and just not even saying anything.
That's hilarious.
But and he was notoriously the cheapest person in the world. Shout out to Texas Toast.
Sweet. I was going to ask, is this Texas Toast?
Yes.
That's so funny. And also making me laugh just thinking because, you know, I'm getting my gifts. It's the day after the wedding. We're going through the cards and I get a card. I won't say who from.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. It was generous, but I was surprised. I thought it would have been a little more.
Sure.
Like 6 cards later, we get another card. Same person with more money in it. So I'm like, what? We called them and she was like, ah, oh, my husband's so cheap. And, you know, he put the one card and I just wanted it, you know, give what I wanted to give myself, my own. So she had a card from those two and then she had a card just from her, from herself.
Was it?
No. First name was right.
Wife of.
No. It's so funny. I was cracking up.
Oh my God.
He's so cheap.
Your name is. Do you just automatically marry a cheap man? That's so funny.
Oh my God. That's great.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your insight. I think that was actually really, really helpful.
That's a great question.
And I hope it helps our Carrie. Thank you for the message. She's such a sweetheart. I'm so glad we did it.
I'm excited for the next one.
Yes. Yeah. I'll let you know where you can find Jumping the Broom.
And before, now that we're, you know, if anybody has something they want us to talk about, Jumping the Broom, throw it our way. If you have any questions you want us to address, you know, absolutely, anything, our thoughts on anything.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll try to find a premarital counseling question that more aligns with Jumping the Broom. And I'll figure out a way to make sure that we can do that episode in a reasonable time frame so that we can, you know, evolve these so that they're great.
Because
they're great movies and they deserve our justice.
Maybe we could come up with a better way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Vic. Thank you so much for
doing it. Thank you for having me. This was fun. Again,
it was
excited
fun.
For the next.
Excited.
See you guys in a month.
See you in a month. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening to the episode today. Please like, review, rate, subscribe, follow, whatever the things are. It's really, really helpful. If you do support us, there's something in it for you too. You'll have the opportunity to win a free prenup bridal prep planner. We give one away every month. I have the directions on how to do that below, so make sure you check that out. Thank you again for listening. Happy planning. See you next Wednesday.